7:39, and even though they're in recess, they're no, I'm sorry. You're in, what do you call it, a district work period? Is that what we call it?
District work period.
That's it. Okay. All right.
And well, I'm working.
I was going to say,
on the road this morning.
You don't have to work as late, probably. You get started a little bit earlier. I know you're an early riser. You'd probably like to have a session gaveled in about 9 o'clock if you could.
Well, actually, I think it would be more productive if we started at 7 because all the troublemakers would still be asleep.
There you go. Hey, let's talk about those troublemakers a little bit to begin with on the Republican side. Of course, we know about the Freedom Caucus, which is a group that broke away from the Republican study committee that you're the chairman of, to kind of take a harder line approach. Now, as a result, there's been some legislation that y'all had on the agenda that got pulled because it wasn't going to end up with the outcome that leadership wanted. During this time period where you're not in session, is there some sort of a readjustment or game plan as to what you're going to do so that Republicans who now control both the House and Senate can get some legislation out?
Well, let me say this. First of all, they didn't break away from the Republican Study Committee. All of them are still members. One has said he was not going to renew in 2017. But other than that, they're all still part of the biggest, most effective caucus in Congress. To answer your question, yes, I hope so. And we've been working with them to try to let them know about the things that we could, conservative things that we could do that would help make their legislative goals easier to accomplish. For instance, the debt ceiling vote is going to be coming up before too long. And there are some things, some budget spending and regulatory reforms that we can include in the debt ceiling that would make it palatable to Americans because they know that we're adding things onto that must-pass bill that will improve the long-term fiscal outlook for the country.
Now, so that means that but we're going to still see it. There's still going to be conflict out there, I think. What's the next key vote that you see coming up where you may have an opportunity to get something passed as substantial?
Within the next 2 weeks, when we go back in the session, there are two key votes. One is the budget for the United States of America. That's being put together by the House Republicans and by the Senate Republicans. So that's the first key vote because it sets a long-term vision for where we're going as a country from a fiscal perspective. The second big one is and this is getting the weeds a little bit, it's the Medicare SGR, Sustainable Growth Rate vote. This is a provision that was added to Medicare decades ago that was real gimmicky, never worked, it's never been implemented. And so Congress has had to make several patches, you know, well over a dozen patches to it over the years. We're hoping to just kill that provision of Medicare so that it goes away. So that's going to be a key vote as well.
Okay. So folks understand what that had to do with is it kind of pegged what doctors got paid to what the cost of the overall service was. And obviously, as prices have gone up, then the share that the doctors would get paid, at least if they use this law, would be diminished. And obviously, doctors wouldn't want that.
So that's correct. And so if you're a person that's using Medicare today, there's a good chance your doctor wouldn't get paid enough to make it worth their while, so they would drop you as a patient. So, again, it was one of those stupid things Congress designed a couple of decades ago that never made sense because they violate the real-world rules of economics. And so it's something that we've got to go ahead and pony up and fix this year.
Bill Flores joining us from out in the district. I'd like to get your comments. Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, the ATF, we're going to pull some green tip bullets off the market, and apparently there was such a groundswell, a backlash on this, that they've decided not to. We were discussing this morning, is this just kind of a way to abridge some Second Right amendments for people?
Oh, that's exactly what they were trying to do. They were trying to find a way to choke off our Second Amendment rights. I was part of a group of members of Congress that really blew up about this, and, not only were we sending letters to the head of the agency and to the bureaucrats that came up with the silliness, but we also were making calls and part of a groundswell of just, you know, real world folks that were just mad about this. And fortunately, the ATF backed off on this day before yesterday. I was pleased that they made the right decision. I'm still disappointed in the fact that they keep trying to find ways to make ends around our Second Amendment rights.
Finally today, it's not leading the news in television or radio, and it's not on the front pages, but the Veterans Administration obviously continues to try to work through the mountain of paperwork for injured veterans. Can you tell us, at least within the district, what you're hearing from veterans as far as how the service or how the VA is responding to them?
Well, it's a mixed message, which is what I would have expected. Some veterans are happy with the Veterans Choice Program that is just now kind of starting. They've gotten their Veterans Choice cards, and they have opportunity to go outside the VA healthcare system. They're happy with that. But some of the folks that are elected to stay inside the VA healthcare system say that over the past few months, that the wait times have gotten shorter, the service has gotten more attentive than it used to be. So I'm glad to hear about that. But then I also have veterans that say that the VA is still another broken bureaucracy. So I'm still mixed messages. We're going to continue to push the VA to do the right thing for our country's veterans.
Well, it's something we shouldn't forget no matter what, like I say, even though it's not on the front pages. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday, even on Wednesdays like now when he's out working in the district. I appreciate the time this morning, Bill.
You bet. Glad to be with you. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women and our first responders.
All right, thanks. Safe travels to you.